Okay, if we can get everybody to find a seat, we'll give Ben as much of his time as we can this afternoon here. And
He said not 2 hours.
Well, we gave him 1 hour last time we did this, and he took two anyway. So. But we are trying to give all the guys a little bit of extra time here. So we'll let Ben get on, and I don't think there's anything else that, that we need. So, Ben? And there are notes for this on the back corner of the table if you didn't see those and you'd like some.
Last year I was trying to find a topic, and you know what topic I did, but this was one of the topics that I was working on, and I had a little thing on Facebook that came up, and I'll read it. It says, Facebook quote, "If God doesn't like the way I live, let Him tell me and not you." And it's like, does the Bible state that? Or is that someone's opinion? Is that something from God? Or is that from Satan? Type thing. These quotes, not just this quote, but there's quotes all over. And that's something that I hear things and you just go, oh man, that's like fingernails on a chalkboard. And this was one of them. So, let's go to Proverbs 1:7. I have listening first, you know, so this is Old Testament, but, you know, 1:7, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." And verse 8, "Hear the instruction of your father." So, it's telling you to fear the Lord. Of course, during this time, it's law. And if you feared the Lord, you would learn God's law. But here it says, listen to your father. Listen. Okay. Verse 14, I'm going to be coming back to this later, but "In the mouth of a fool is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise will preserve them." But the part I want to point to is the fool is a rod of pride. We're going to be coming back to that, and it's dealing with right away here. 1 Timothy 3:6, it talks about, it's talking about, what is it, pastors and not having a young one.
Novice,
yeah. "Not a novice, unless being puffed up with pride, he falls into the same condemnation as the devil." So, connecting the word pride with the condemnation of the devil, you know, you have this idea that, you know, the fool up above isn't listening. A fool doesn't listen. It's the same condemnation as the devil. So you have these steps here. Right below it, I'm going really quick here, sorry. I have fleshly pride, satanic pride, and worldly pride in different verses to go look them up if you like. I didn't really break this down what kind of pride for each one, but there are three different kinds. So they're all different. We all know from other Bible studies that fleshly pride is a different defense, as satanic pride is different, and same with worldly pride. So You got to be careful and define what pride it's talking about before you do your defense. What? Oh. Okay. In Hebrews 10:25, it talks about not forsaking the assembly. He's warning these Hebrews that were, for whatever reason, they're not getting together with other believers. And if you're not with other believers, can you listen? God can help, but in next verse, in Ephesians 3:17, let's turn there. I didn't write it in my notes. I wanted to go there. Ephesians. Going really fast. Ephesians 3:17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend or grab with all the saints, that is the width, length, and depth, and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. If you're not listening, are you getting the knowledge passed to you? God, this is part of God's will. Getting together with other believers and learning to listen. But do all Christians, is everything they say, are we supposed to listen? Or are we supposed to compare it to God's Scripture? That's all good, Dewey. So, so if you know, the reason why I put the Hebrews 10:12 a little later, I didn't know exactly how to put it in, but if you're forsaking the assembling, are you getting knowledge passed to you the way God wants it to be passed to you? You can learn a little bit by reading the Bible in your own little corner, but there's other believers, even if they don't have the pastor teacher gift, can help teach you something that they've learned. Are you listening? Are you comparing Scripture with Scripture to it? Because there's a lot, as Ben was teaching last night, there's a lot of warnings of people misusing Scripture. So, then right below that, it says among believers, sometimes even a woman can teach, exercise some authority regarding men. And this is from God. The example is in Romans 16:1-3 and Acts 18:26. That's in a small group. She's with her husband and she's the one teaching this guy. In the large group, you have, I put the verse in there, it's 1 Timothy 2, 11-12. It says women to be quiet. Is that because did men write this Bible or did God? God. Sometimes, you know, we're going to be hitting more on submission here. Right below it here. Submitting to whom? Says, wives, to submit to your own husbands. Husbands, love his wife. Children, obey their parents. Fathers, don't provoke your children. Slaves, obey. Masters, give up threatening and be gracious. Submit to the government. Jesus Christ submitted to the Father. I have verses there. Young pastors, submitting to the elders. Understanding. You know, we've got some more verses. I'll be coming back. And then I found in James 4, a little late, Tim put it in, but it's not in mine. It says, submit to God. And in James 4. James 4, let's jump to James 4. Therefore, submit to God and resist the devil. I'm going to stop right there. Submit to God. And if you're not wanting to submit to God, you're kind of listening to the devil. Interesting. 7:4-7. Does Satan want us to be listening to other Christians about God's word?
Yes.
No.
No. If they're not teaching right, he does.
Yeah. Exactly. So, it's... You put this on there, all this submitting, and, you know, it goes, where does men submit to... Where does... A husband love his wife? That's submitting to God. That's God telling him, submit to me. Love your wife. You know? And don't be bitter to her. Bitter to him in Colossians 3. Because she's so loving. There's times the woman isn't very loving to him. And he gets bitter. And vice versa. What does God say? Forgive, be gracious, keep your mouth shut if they're upset, because all it's going to do is create more fleshly war. Let God deal with her if she's mad at you, or vice versa. And that's why it tells the women to be quiet, and I forget what verse it is. 1 Peter. Jump to 1 Peter. Talks. Is it 1 Peter? Oh, yes. 3:1. 1 Peter 3:1. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husband, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives. Is that by the wives or Christ? You're keeping your own flesh out of the way so God can deal with your man. And vice versa. Sometimes you open that thing, James 3 comes in effect. And the explosion happens. Let's jump back to the wife submitting to your husband. This isn't natural. We know this because it's part of the curse of Genesis 3:16. It's some Bibles don't have it translated right, but their desire will be against your husband. But in Ephesians 5:33, let's jump there. It says, nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and to let the wife that she respects or fears her husband. Is that the verse? Oh, am I screwed up here?
No, you got that.
Okay.
22.
Huh?
522? No, you're 533.
Yeah, I was thinking it was, it's my subnotes underneath it. We had a study that respect is afraid to disrupt the goodness that the husband will do for the wife. So, what do we know about men from Matthew 19? About God. When they said, you're good to God. And he goes, the only one that's good is God. He was talking to Jesus Christ. Man is not good. So, is this the husband being good, or that man listening to God, and God being lived out? In 1 Peter, it talks about sometimes the wife has to be quiet so God can deal with him. But if the wife speaks up, now God's got to deal with you because you're going out of the order of God's realm of authority, how he has it set up. It becomes a big problem. Now you've got two people out of wills instead of submitting to God to what he said. Becomes a big issue. Let's get on. Let's see. Any Christian, okay. Any Christian may have an opportunity to exhort or admonish another believer. There's, you know, people going into trespassing. Let's go to Galatians 6:1. This could be to someone that has the gift of exhortation. But in Galatians 6:1, it doesn't say just them. This is anyone. Oh, gosh, where is it? Brethren, if a man is overtaken in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness. That meekness is side blinders, so, and you're really focused on that problem. You're not, you're getting God's power here, because if you go this way, you're going to get, you're not using God's power, and then you're in trouble. Warning, considering yourself lest you also be tempted. So, we just went through the submission thing. Now we're going to be hitting on, we're talking about, should you listen when a woman speaks or a child speaks? You got to look at God's word. Well, here it says anyone that's being spiritual and someone's under a trespass. So it's a little different. They're about to sin and God's given you the opportunity. Does it say go run to your pastor and tell him he's about to trespass? No, it says you, who is spiritual. You noticed it. It's your turn to grow. But it's not your opinion, right? We're supposed to tell from God's word to help them, not our opinion. James 3:6 warns us of using our mouths. Let's go to James 3:6. Oh boy. The tongue is a fire, a word of iniquity. The tongue is also set among members, that it defiles the whole body, sets a fire the course of generations, and it is set on fire by hell. Goes on, no man can tame the tongue, let it be unruly, evil, fully of deadly poison. Yet God's telling us to use our tongue, who is spiritual, to help them. By our tongue, remember, we can't, no man can tame that tongue. Who can tame that tongue? What? God can. How do you do that? How does God tame that?
The Holy Spirit.
Well, yes. When we focus on that grace that God tells us, where's our grace at? The right hand. He says good things about us even when we're sinning. Verse 10. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does the spring spring forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Goes down in verse 14 and 15. It's good stuff. In 1 Corinthians 8, it's a warning. I can't remember if a trespass, does that, they might be trespassing, but when you, let's say they don't know that it's a sin, that'd just be a form of unrighteousness. Would that be a trespass? To being unrighteous? No. So, if they don't know that it's wrong, and you say it is, and it, God's Word says it is, we got to be careful when we're talking to someone that doesn't know Scripture very well, don't we? In 1 Corinthians 8, I don't know if this goes together, but it says, but when you thus sin against your brethren and wound their weak conscience, you're talking to a baby believer most likely, you sin against Christ. Therefore, this is talking about food, but if we're judging their motives, what they're doing, and let's say they're about to trespass according to God's Bible, but they don't know, it's just unrighteousness, not a sin. When you're going to go talk to them about that trespass, you got to know them how. You got to be spending time with them, don't you? That they know that that's a trespass. If you haven't spent time with them, how would you know if they know about it? And then someone comes and goes, "You're trespassing! You're doing this wrong!" We know. If we do this, Christians get bitter. And that's a satanic attack. Which thus, they can't submit. And you go, wait, that's a spiritual attack on the body. And 1 Corinthians 8 is saying, the more mature are responsible. And we'll get on to, we need to get to that verse because it's good. I'm getting out of sort here. I'm getting out of line. Let's go to James 4:17. I like this verse. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. But when it's that always that, well, they're doing it wrong. I know that's unrighteous. I need to go tell them. But I don't know if they know about that. So that's a sin. I know it's a sin. But do they know it's a sin? Well, I haven't spent enough time with them. Are you supposed to speak up? Or are you supposed to teach? You know? I, when God comes to us and saves us, how does He come and save us? According to Romans 2:4. Kindness. Do you think He uses the same way in our present tense? Mm-hmm. Kindness. Christ is our example. Let's go to Ephesians 5. I like this area. I want to make a connection. Verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, and also Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Well, the church is sometimes rebellious, aren't they? And how does Christ deal with this? Kindly. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself to it, that He might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by a word. God being righteous, He always says the right thing. We don't. Hard day at work. Get a little short. This is the great mystery, verse 32, that speaking concerning Christ and the church. Let's jump to 1 Peter 5:3. This is talking of, we'll start in verse 2. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as bishops, not by compulsion, but willingly. Not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. Not as being lords over those entrusted to you, but be examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory and not fade away. Who's the chief shepherd? Jesus Christ. And does He have a choking chain and pulling us? Or is He saying, follow Me? Do we always follow Christ? I wish I was 50-50% of the time. But, you know. Christ's our example. Galatians 6:10. It says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are the household of faith. Doing good. And we saw in James 4:17, if we don't do good, we know to do good and we don't, it is what? Sin. So, since Christ is our example, are we supposed to do like He did in Matthew 23? When He went into the temple and started whipping everybody? What's the difference there?
He's God.
He's God. And He can judge your motives.
Right.
He already told them not to do some of the things. And they did it anyway. He already told them, but basically He's calling them spawn from hell. Only God can do that. He judges Moses, and we can't. We're human. We can judge for what someone says or does and go, well, we might have a problem there. Let's look at Paul as a good example. Let's go to Acts 20. Start at verse 21. It says, testifying to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. And I see now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. In every city, as he's going through Asia, the Holy Spirit's telling him not to. And what is Paul doing?
Going.
God, you know what you is right. But I think I know better. Isn't that a lot of us? Isn't that a lot of us? And who's our steward for this dispensation? I think that's why he gives us this example. Let's go to Acts 21. Right across the page. And finding the disciples, he stayed there 7 days. And they told Paul through the Spirit not to go to Jerusalem again. That was 21:4. Let's drop down to verse 8. 21:8. On the next day, we were there where Paul's companions departed and went to Caesarea and entered the house of Philip the evangelist, who was one of the seven, and stayed with him. Now this man had 4 virgin daughters who prophesied, and we stayed many days. Interesting, they prophesied. I'm not sure, would that be like part of prophets or... Women, prophets, interesting. You'd have to listen to them, huh? Think about that. Their gift was prophet. Interesting. As we stayed many days, a certain prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. Oh, is that it? What verse?
You're getting there.
Amen? 8:14. When he came to us, he took Paul's belt, bound his own hands and feet, and said, thus says the Holy Spirit, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. Now when he heard these things, both we and those from that place pleaded with him not to go up to Jerusalem. Not only that guy, quite a few people in there. And they're saying, don't go, Paul. So, Holy Spirit's been doing every city. How many cities are between Greece and Asia and Jerusalem? Every city? Wow. How many? Is that pretty hard-headed? And God led him. This is really cool when it gets down to here. And both we and those from that place pleaded with him not to go to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, what do you mean by weeping and breaking my heart? This is part of his soul here he's talking about. It wasn't God's will. He's telling him not to go. For I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. So when he would not be persuaded, we ceased, saying, the will of the Lord be done. Was the choke chain there coming? Where's the choke chain? was it kind of interesting. I don't know if that's permissive or determinative, but it's good study to, for that. Different wills. Let's jump to 22:18. He does it again. Now it happened when I returned, or verse 17. Now it happened when I returned to Jerusalem and was praying in the temple, and I was in a trance, and saw him saying to me, "Make haste and get out of Jerusalem quickly, for they will not receive your testimony concerning me." Who's this talking? Sounds like Jesus coming talking to him face to face here. And he, that's pretty. We're not the sign where he comes down and do face to face, but he was the apostle. He was supposed to teach us. And he's going, "This, I don't want this for you." If your master, your Lord, the one that died for your sins and says, "Stop," and he still says, "I gotta go." Could God have chained him? But he let him do it. Verse 21, "Then he said to me, 'Depart, for I will send you far from here to the Gentiles.'" So, let's go to 2 Corinthians.
Interesting, when he was going to Damascus to imprison and kill the Christians, God blinded him. When he was going to Jerusalem to help Christians, God let him go.
Was he going to Christians?
Yeah, both times. One is an unsaved man.
Yeah. 2 Corinthians 7. Is it 7? I don't know. No, what the heck? Oh, yeah. Another example here. 7:9. "Now I rejoice not that you were made sorry, but that you sorrow led to repentance." So there is a time to get tough. And in 2 Corinthians, he warns them several times that if you don't change your ways, you may die. That's in 1 Corinthians 11, 30 through 32. It talks about that. It does again in verse 13 in 2 Corinthians. But he says he's rejoicing that, "I now rejoice not that he made you sorry, but that your sorrows led to repentance." So there is a time where you have to get tough with the believer. But beginning of 1 Corinthians, do you remember the beginning of 1 Corinthians? Did he come in with a whip right away? Let's jump to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 1. It's Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God. He's making his authority made known. And then I can't, so the, though I can't even say that word. What is that? Is that a guy?
Yeah. Or,
okay. Our brother, okay. I didn't read this prior, so. To the church of God, which is in Corinth, he's addressing them. To those who are sanctified, set apart in Christ Jesus. What is he saying there? He's trying to point them to their position up in the heavenlies. Is that kindness first? Mm-hmm. But let's jump to verse 3. He talks a lot between there. So there's a lot of talking. Verse 3, it gets pretty blunt. Chapter 3, yeah. Sorry. Chapter 3, verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I feed you with milk and not with solid food. For until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are not able to. For you are still carnal. For where there is envy, strife, divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? Well, they are men, but they're not living up to their position in Christ. They're not teaching. They're not not teaching. They're not treating their brothers as brothers. I'm better than you, basically, all through this. I'm doing my own will, not God's. I don't have to submit to you. It's all up and down there. They're doing their own thing. God's not in control. He's not the boss. I'm going to do my thing. So, I don't know. I'd say if we're listening to God or to Apostle Paul before this. I don't know if were they taught before? Because it seems like, did he teach them before, didn't he? In Acts? 18 months. How much stuff did he pass on in 18 months teaching every day? 18 months every day? That for this church, that'd be like 60 years of teaching almost. Teaching, he'd teach, 4 or 5 hours? Guesstimating. That's a lot of information. Go to, let's see, Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 13. Let's see what that is. I forget. Oh, yeah. This is the other warning. This will be a third time I have come to you by the mouth of two or three witnesses. Every word shall be established. So this is a third time that he's warning them. With two to three witnesses. The first time you're supposed to go one-on-one. Next time a couple people come with you. Now they're going, yeah, this is a problem. Oh, verse 2. You got to go down verse 2. It says, I told you before and therefore foretell that if I were present the second time and not being absent, I write to those who have sinned before and to all the rest that if I come again, I will not spare. Why is he getting so rough with them? They're not treating the other brethren very good. In Philippians 2:1, we've been doing this in the women's Bible study on Tuesday morning, and this kind of had to go in this, so. Philippians, I went to Peter. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if there is any comfort, this is like soft words, comfort. Is that, that's part of the soul? The soft words are for your soul. Consolation in Christ is spirit. Then it goes, any comfort, soft words of love, which it's for the, I have for the soul there, but love is from the Spirit. if any fellowship of the Spirit, how do we fellowship in the Spirit? Things of grace. If we're not fellowshipping in that grace, what kind of fellowship do we have? How gracious are we being to one another? We're definitely not giving comfort, soft words to one another. If there is any affection and mercy for their soul, to have that good soul feeling, what do you have to be doing? Spending time together. You got to spend time together. You got to know, some issues that they have in their life, and you could be open enough that they won't hurt you where you let it out. Fulfill my joy. Joy is from the Spirit. Understanding what God's will for that, for you to do all this, by being like-minded in the Spirit. Things of grace. Having that same agape love. Fruit from the Spirit. Being of one accord, one soul. That's a tough one. The Spirit, we can all agree that Christ is righteous. Sometimes the soul thing, man. I don't know about those teachers, those government workers. Or I go working at the store, I got to pay my taxes. I got to submit to the government, even though God says that. Why, God? What do you know? I'm about to be, kids are moving out of the house. Some aspects I'm looking forward to it and some I'm not, It's kind of that, but, But when I was, had all these kids, like the keys here, you have the older people going, keep your kids quiet. They're being loud. Well, it's maturity, isn't it? Isn't that just maturity? It's showing maturity or carnality. What is it? I'm not going to judge. Were they being loud? Yeah. Didn't offend me, offended my wife, but this kind of explains this Matthew 13:45-46. Let's jump there. Jim was teaching on it, and I just liked, I want to read it and. For the ones that was in the Bible study, you may see how this connects.
Did you say 14?
Matthew 13. Where am I? Find my spot. Matthew 13:45. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he had found one pearl with great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Jim was teaching how how does a pearl become a pearl? A piece of sand gets in there and agitates an oyster, and that pearl becomes like the oyster inside it. Who makes us into a pearl? And we're supposed to go out and purchase all we can of this. Think about that. First Corinthians 11:1. This is Paul speaking. It says, imitate me, just as I also imitate Christ. He's the one, what is he? Is he Paul the bun, the drum thing, setting the pace? Boom, boom, boom. We're supposed to get in line and step and left, right, left, right. But what's the problem there sometimes? There's maturity issues, growth issues. And the ones that are mature are the ones that are supposed to be patient. We're supposed to be gracious. Why? God is good. God is good. Is there any man good? I want to go back to that. Only God is good. If we get into that power, we can be good for a moment. With the Galatians 6:1, that's dealing with trespasses. Let's go to 2 Timothy 2:22. This is dealing with doctrine. It says, flee also youthful lust. And sometimes lust. Is that lust? When it put you think, it's saying. This is a different kind of lust than when you just say lust, you know. But pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. To have any of those, that's fruit from the Spirit. You need God's help. We all need God's help. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes. Don't argue among yourselves, knowing that they generate strife. What's the difference between foolish and ignorant disputes versus answering question? If someone's asking a question, sometimes they come off as they're making an argument. But if they're asking a question, it's kind of hard to tell sometimes from that person. Tim has a little problem with that from me sometimes. He doesn't want me to start disputing because the way I ask questions sometimes. I like to go back and forth because our family is learned at a young age. Everything was on the table to talk about, and it was about argument. They'd like to discuss it into the ground. It didn't matter about your feelings and whatnot. So when I ask questions, sometimes it comes from there, but I'm asking questions. You can usually hit me with a hammer pretty hard. It won't hurt my head. I like someone to come and hit me in the face and say, this is what I mean. Thank you. I need to hear that. But I know a lot of people are much more sensitive. My wife is very sensitive. I'm not. So, a lot of ladies I've learned the hard way. Verse 24. And the servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach and be patient. Once again, fruit from the Spirit. In humility, correcting those who are in opposition. Are they going, you're wrong? You're using God's word to show. And not, you're wrong. If God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth. Once again, it's God that opens their eyes. And he does it by kindness. And that they may come to their senses from being drunk, soberness, and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. This is a Christian. Because that believer didn't look at what they've decided to grab hold on to and said, is this true to what God says? That's true! No, it isn't! Yes, it is! Now you're... let go. And Satan will leave. But can you argue it? You can't argue it. Got to go back to 1 Peter 5:3. We're supposed to lead by example, not a choke chain. Another, you know. Do we do this naturally? No. We got to have God's empowerment. Let's go to 2 Timothy 2:1. You therefore, my child, be empowered by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Empowered is by the grace. When you show forth that grace toward someone, whether the kid's being loud, some little doctrine. Sometimes you have to. We saw Tim. We had a guy come in speaking a bunch of stuff that was nonsense. And he shut him down. Gently, but with force. How can that be? He did. It was a good example for the people that were here, I believe. If one tries to submit, going back to the submission thing, if someone tries to do that submission without God's power, how are they doing it by? It's an act of working in your flesh, carnality, bootstraps. I can do that. I don't need God to do that. I can be nice. To a point. Till they say no. This goes back to the Galatians 5:19 and 21. James 3:5, 12, losing your tongue. We went over that. But let's go to Ephesians 6:6. I kind of like, this is one of the issues when you are being in the flesh. You're not trying to do what God says. You're trying to do what men say. So, Ephesians 6:6, it says, not being eye servant as men pleasers, but be a bond servant of Christ, doing the will of God from the soul. God's empowering your spirit, and He's supposed to, your soul is grabbing hold of that spirit and saying, I've screwed up enough. I don't want to do that no more. Let's do it God's way. Doesn't He? We screw up by failing, don't we? We learn. And sometimes ignorance as kids, you're going, okay, Dad told me to do this. I'm going to go do it. But I don't want to do it. Then you do it. Right. Dad prayed and you go, I didn't want to do it, but I did it right, but I didn't want to do it. Then you start doing it with a good attitude. Maybe you were spiritual, maybe you just had a good day, who knows. Dad's going, good job, good job. That's soulish thing, huh? And pretty soon, the kid's doing it like Dad wanted because he's saying, good job, good job. Romans 3:20 says, when you put law into something, the result is to get the full experiential knowledge of sin. So if you're trying to bootstrap it, and you're going, that's the law, I got to submit to my dad. Instead of grabbing God, power, be grace, you know, God's good, grace, grace dad, he graces me. We're having a good attitude. But if you're doing bootstraps, oh, dad was a little short with me. How dare he? That's not Christian. It's part of that being gracious both ways. We are men. We fail. Forgiving one another. Like Ephesians 4. 30 through 32. It's one of the things in we see in Satan. That's his first sin. Was Satan is saying, I'm going to do it my way instead of God's way, isn't it? In Isaiah 14:12-14. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 13:3. Hey, I almost got this down. We're in the last section within an hour, guys. Second time. Not bad. I'll start in verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and I understand all mysteries, all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. Without love, are you being spiritual or carnal? Carnal. So, if you're being carnal, you're about to fall if you're about to go Galatians 6:1, aren't you? And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long, it's long-suffering, and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up in the flesh. This is pride in the flesh. Does not have behave rudely. Does not seek its own. It is not provoked, thinking no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things. Believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Where's love from? God. Let's flip to verse 13 in the chapter. It says, now abideth faith, hope, and love. These three, the greatest of these is love. Why is it the greatest? Pretty soon we won't need faith, because when God glorifies us, He's given us all our promises. Our hope, when He glorifies us, He's fulfilled the promises. Love, it continues. And God's going to show His love towards us into the ages as He's teaching us. As, I don't know, we'll be glorified, but somehow, you know, we'll be going, oh, I don't get it. Or will we get it right off the go? You think about this. We're still human. Are we going to get it now that we're glorified? Or will he go through a couple ages before we get it? Think about that. Otherwise, it'd go pretty quick, huh?
There'd just be more things to learn. It's just like the spirit beings, they're way higher in intellect than us, but they've been learning about God for ages.
Yeah. How long has it been teaching one thing to them? And they're higher intellect. Okay, the bottom part. We function in priestly service as slaves of Christ. It goes in, all of us are priests. We all have different gifts. So I wrote down the locations where it talks about our priestly service, but I'm not going into them in depth. I'm just going roughly shot. You got Romans 12, Philippians 2, Hebrews 13, where there's three of them listed. Those are things, when, if you operate correctly towards other believers, it's God's will for us. The question is, are we listening to God? Or are we going to go do off what Paul did and do what he wants to do? Hebrews 11:26. I want to go there, last bit. In Hebrews 11, it's called the... What is Hebrews 11 called?
Faith chapter.
So, I just like this. It says in verse 26, esteeming the reproach of Christ, the greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. He said, his promises were so good, I'm going to go do what God's promised me. They're better than all the king's riches. In verse 40, it says, we have better promises. Are we going to grab those greater promises? This jump, the last verse goes to John 13. When we grab those promises, John 13. Go 34. We'll start in 34. So we all know it, but it's good to go over it. This is a new kind of commandment I give to you, that you love one another as who loved you? How's this different than in Matthew? In Matthew, but is it you doing it or Christ doing it in that verse? In Matthew 20,
you do it.
Here, we're supposed to love as Christ, not as... So, I can go over, I love you, neighbor. Well, I'm not doing my yard, so I'm not going to help you do yours. I'm a pig. I'm going to, you know, love you as much as I love myself. You know? But here, this is saying, love as Christ loved you. Well, what did he do? He invites all his... followers, he brings them in and into the place, and he washes their feet. And Peter goes, whoa, no. And he goes, no, Peter, you got to have your feet washed by me. What's this example? As he is our example, we are supposed to imitate him. That's it. Thank you.
This up, so I got to go through this ahead of time and kind of walk through that logic of if God's equipped us and we're supposed to be serving Him in this way, then that means you better listen to the other brothers and sisters when they talk to you and they share things and they say things. You get that from people exactly where you put out that top thing. God will tell me what God wants me to know. And sometimes God uses other believers to say, listen. And it's not telling you take Highway 26 instead of this. That's really not what this is about. This is about living the Christian life. He's talking about believers telling you truths about the Christian life. Not telling believers which side you ought to park your hair on or what highway to take. Those things are nice things, but that's not really what this is about. And so I appreciated that. Excuse me. Appreciate Ben's effort in this. Okay. Let's take a little break, get up and kind of move around, grab some coffee or tea or something like that, and then we'll come back up. We're going to have a little time for some Q&A if you have some. I don't know, maybe we don't have any, and we'll just go right back to coffee and tea until supper. But or if you need to take off for a little break or something. So we'll just take a break, and then we'll... I have no idea. I'm not in charge of that, so... So, well, actually, we don't have another session now until about three hours here. But we'll see how long Q&A takes. So, okay, and it's kind of open Q&A. That means that anybody that's here can participate in helping us try to answer some questions. So it's not just the guys that are speaking there. Okay, so let's have a word of prayer and we'll dismiss from this time. Father, we're thankful for the time that you have given us this afternoon. We're thankful that you have equipped each and every one of us as a believer to serve within the body of Christ, and therefore it behooves all of us to recognize that it is appropriate for us to submit to what you're doing through the lives of other believers to help us in our own Christian life and living it. When we need to be encouraged, when we need to be taught, when we need to be the recipient of mercy, whatever that ministry might be. And so we're thankful for this, thankful for the time that Ben put in working through these scriptures for us, and we just ask that you'd encourage us now in the hour ahead. Amen. Okay. Go enjoy your coffee, your tea, with water.
You're tired already. Been up since midnight.